Sorry.
Red present. Let the record show we have a quorum. First order of business is the approval of the agenda. Changes to the agenda.
Running circles.
Make a motion to approve the agenda.
One second.
Roll call, please.
Jack?
Yes.
Shirley?
Yeah.
Alan? Rayette?
Yes.
Danny?
Yes.
Marita?
Yes.
Okay, next item of business is the consent agenda. Everybody had a chance to read the minutes of the meeting, the last meeting. Any comments? Changes? Corrections? Additions? Marina, motion to adopt the consent agenda?
Make motion to adopt the consent agenda.
Second.
Question?
Shirley?
Yes.
Jack?
Yes.
Danny?
Yes.
Marita?
Yes.
Rayette?
Yes.
Get rid of the reports. Krista?
Raw fish tax for June was $64,462.43. Sales tax revenue was $92,670.92. The bank balance for June is $4,292,275.15. I included an expenditure and revenue deadline for June. Anybody have any questions?
The council have any questions for Chris? Thank you, Krista. Andy?
Okay, good evening. Mr. Council. I'll cover a few items that we've been working on since the last report from last month. First up is the Sandpoint Road rehabilitation. Last month, the council approved the construction contract for QAP to begin work. So they're the winning bidder. And they've started mobilizing gravel and equipment, and there's a lot of gravel here in town already for them to start. Their schedule had them originally starting about this week to start some of the construction, but I think it's going to be pushed back a week. They told me just yesterday they should be able to still finish by roughly mid-September, before October, and that will meet the stipulation that we had in the bid documents. There's also a proposal from HDR to do the construction admin and inspection for this project. That's later on in the agenda. We'll discuss that. Something we talked about last month was that for the construction and the admin and the inspection is going to cost more than we have for funding in our grant from the state and from Trident. And we fall about $210,000 short for those. And I was instructed to reach out to the borough for a funding request. So we did that. The mayor had a letter for a $200,000 request to the borough. And that was sent about a week ago. And whenever their next meeting is, we'll address that with them. And so I told the clerk and the borough administrator to let us know that being about the agenda. I'm expecting first week of September, so we will discuss that. But anyway, that the construction project will be going off starting pretty soon. Down in the harbor, Pumping Electric finished up the upland electrical work. And really that completed about all of the construction work that has to be done down in the harbor. Those guys are going to come out actually in a couple more weeks to put groundfall protection in each of the harbor and each of the meters and the stalls, and that's going to wrap up everything they're to do down there. And we'll be sending out the last payments for all of that project, and I think it looks good, and something for the community to be proud of. As you know, we had a lot of issues with the flotation billets in the harbor, on the floats weren't level, so we kind of went back and forth with the design engineer, the construction admin firm, who was also doing the inspection on that, because we thought both of them were culpable or responsible for how that looked. So we sent a letter to those two groups asking for compensation for what the city had to pay to get that fixed. And to their attorneys, we have a deadline of response for next week, August 15th. So I guess we'll see what their response is. Along that same vein, we had some issues with Pacific Pile and their subcontractors on the same issue of how they installed the billets. It wasn't really up to par. It wasn't up to the bid specifications. They had some double, triple stack, flashed together with rope. He knows that pretty well. And so it wasn't a very professional and industry standard job. So in talking with Pacific Pile, we did a contract deduct for their final payment for that. It was equivalent to what McGovern and Resolve basically had to do to repair those billets. And that was about a $21,000 deduct. Financially, all the bills are basically paid for the harbor except for this remaining work that Puffin Electric can do with the downfall protection. That's about $40,000. The good news there is that I've sent in all the paperwork to DOT for the harbor facility grant, and that's all wrapped up. He authorized the final contract amendments for all the work that we've done with the uplands, and all told, that should get us about $498,000 payment coming here within the next week or two, and that'll close out that grant. We got the maximum dollars we put for that. Regarding the city dock, last month the council authorized us to the city to match $25,000funding authorization that's coming from DOT to do a preliminary design on a dock replacement. And as you remember, the whole goal of that is to get a preliminary design, get a figure of what it might cost to replace the dock, and then we have that to use to get into the state's capital budget. This was an idea that came from the DOT commissioner, so we took that as a kind of direction to go that way. So he's willing to put that in the DOT budget, capital budget, and then they also gave us money to do this preliminary design. So we put out an RFP, received three proposals at the end of July, and the mayor and I and a couple other members of the team, including a DOT engineer, ranked these proposals, and the winning bidder to do this preliminary design was P&D Engineering. So that they gave us a fee proposal to do all of that. They'll have three alternatives for what a dock replacement would look like, a rough order of magnitude for the cost. A basic design concept of the best design. So all that's a $42,000 proposal, and that's, we thought it'd be about 50, so it's actually coming in under that, so that's good. I've been talking with PDX and the Alaska Energy Authority in the last couple of weeks to make sure the city is getting all the PCE credits we should be getting for community facilities. Based on our population, we're allowed up to 70,000 kilowatt hours of PCE credits. And looking at the last month of full bills from July, then we got about half of those eligible kilowatt hours. So we're going through the process of renewing those, you have to submit a facility application for every basically meter facility if you aren't getting PCE, and why you should be. So things like the water plant, and some meters down around the harbor, especially new meters, things of that nature. Haven't been getting PCE for a while, so that'll be something good for the community. Lower bills and could be lower effective rates in the harbor, which is stuff that gets passed on to boat owners. So that's good. I'll have an update next month on some of the applications I've put in. Personnel-wise, the mayor and I have been going through the process of, and the clerk, putting out advertisements and trying to fill some key positions in the city, in public works, in public safety, and the water and sewer supervisor. These are key positions. They're not easy to replace, but we're doing our best. And I think, Mr. Mayor, you'll have some input on that later on in the meeting to give. Financially, Krista didn't mention this, but there's a consultant that's been working with her and Curtis and myself in doing the audit preparation so it goes smoothly. BDO is expected to do the audit next month. I think with all the groundwork we're doing right now, that should go smoothly. Once that's done in September or October, once the bulk of that work is done, Arena, that's her name, she's going to help in several other areas with our finances and accounting, which should help make, I think, the department function better and give Krista some support that she needs. Lastly, I had a health insurance item there. I typed this up about some research I've been doing on cost-effective health insurance options, and then I talked to a staffer at Senator Begich's office this morning and said, basically, don't even bother looking at this model because the IRS is probably going to squash it in the Treasury Department. So we can just kind of skip that. But rest assured, I've been talking with this woman on what other small businesses or municipalities in Alaska are doing to kind of meet these challenges, and she's giving me some ideas, and I just signed up for a meeting with SBA, Small Business Administration, next week to see what basically any employer under 50 is, and that's where we qualify, what they've been doing to combat kind of rising premiums. So hopefully I'll have something more to report next month on that. And that's my report now.
Thank you, Andy. Council have any comments?
Questions? Okay, Andy. I have just a real small update as far as the report for council, and I do see some audience there. But I know Dave, as we're talking about positions, and I know Dave is coming to the end of his 3-year contract here with the city at Sandpoint, and I believe in our conversations he will be leaving us maybe by October, end of September, October. Alan Hill, we're working with Alan Hill right now. He's going to be leaving for about 2 weeks in October, but coming back until we get that position filled. We're working with the chief's position and with the chief and the sergeant for some time right now, so we're working with that position also. Update on the new harbor. We did have an issue with the power in the new harbor. They've repaired the harbor as far as the float system goes, but they were having issues with the electricity in the harbor next to the first pedestals, and I notified the attorney as far as the insurance purposes, and that they will be receiving a letter from two of the electricians that were here with an explanation of what they think is going on in the harbor. So that should be addressed very shortly. As Andy said, the Upland electrical contract is finished. Talking to move back out of here. If you look down here, we've got space available. Moon's working with the boats that are coming. Scheduling going to get pulled out. They did a really good job down there. And the Public Works and the Harbor both have helped them out tremendously. And as far as parking, you'll notice parking in the new harbor, we did discuss that. Dave and I were having a little issue with parking for the fishermen down there. It's a pretty congested area at times, but we've opened another area up down by the Harbor Cafe. It was a space that wasn't utilized, moved a few you know, old boats and stuff that were stored there, and we both met early up, so we're finally getting some space for the fishermen to at least park the vehicles. We'll be working a little bit more forward on the one between the city and the Sandpoint Fleet Welding, and maybe open a spot up there for parking also, but that's what we've been doing, so that's about the extent of my report. Chief, pardon me. Chief.
Well, thanks, and good evening. Graph is just me, but I feel like we've all been here all day already. Just to start out, there's a statistical report with some information contained in the packet. If you're interested in looking at that, I'm always available for any questions anybody has in that regard, or if there's ever anything you want to see added to a monthly report, please be sure to let me know. You'll see a slight upswing in domestic violence cases this month. It's a sad reality we experienced. We expanded on that a little bit earlier. We continue to try to be proactive and aggressive in dealing with these problems and individuals and giving them channels in the appropriate direction before we have repeat offenses, but all too often it just seems like a cycle and we have repeat offenses. Also, DUIs have been up a lot, and that's directly related to ready program reporting every dangerous driver immediately. We've had several 5 or 6 reports over the last month or month and a half, and in instances where we've contacted people, and we found kids in the car, I think even that had been when people were intoxicated in the drive-in, and then several other driving behaviors that caused enough concern that people called, and we were able to get those people off the road. So we're happy that people are calling in. We hope that continues. We take it seriously, and we'll certainly be out there responding when the phone rings. Aside from the statistics stuff and everyday police work, personnel seems to be a lot of activity in the city in that regard. We're no different in the department. We have Dave, when he does leave, also leaving as a fire chief, which will create a void. And unfortunately, we got a resignation from Susan Cartwright, our shoemaker. She'll be leaving the 22nd, I think 21st to 22nd of this month, and that's a giant loss for somebody who's had a long tenure and really positive influence on our EMS service in Sandpoint. Those are big shoes to fill, both of them. We'll be working together with the administrator and the mayor and looking at how we can fill those positions, perhaps creatively combining something or trying to find the right person. We struggle to get applicants for, I don't think we have one applicant for the fire chief job. So we'll be working hard to make sure we don't have any gaps in service, most importantly, but also so that we get somebody that can be in there and fill the roles responsibly. Inside the department, we want to thank Christine Nielsen. She filled in from the departure of our last administrative assistant until we hired Denise Mobeck, who we're happy to have on board. She's been on board about 10 days and doing an excellent job, learning very fast and being a positive reflection on the department. We're happy to see that. Christine was capable and filled in and really was dedicated. In addition to dispatching about 10, 12 hours a day, she was also in the office answering phones and doing everything she possibly could to help out and chasing us around, making sure we cleaned up after ourselves and everything else. We need that, so we'll miss her, but we're happy to have Denise on board. I did appreciate a whole lot of the conversation and dialogue that we had about our Facebook page and how we intend to use it and why we're doing what we do and giving feedback to the council, perhaps where maybe you would like to see that go for a community standard. And just again encourage you to continue to monitor it and we'll be responsive and responsible. And the whole idea behind the page is to be a positive thing so that we can create communication, provide information. It's not made to belittle or point fingers at. I think we've already decided we're done with pictures. Conversation earlier today reinforces that. So we'll remove that and we'll put information out that we feel like benefits people that may need to know. And again, always approachable on that. If you see something on the page that you don't like or want to talk about it, we're more than available to do that. We'll certainly do this to myself. And short of finishing up, I don't want to take the floor away without giving certain listeners an opportunity to provide input as well.
Thanks, Chief. It has been a busy month for us, and we're all four of us police officers are working to try to do what we can to help make Sandpoint safer. Many of the investigations that our police officers do even though they might be just misdemeanors, we are treating them as homicide prevention cases, such as domestic violence. We know from the research done nationwide that if police officers don't take a strong stance against domestic violence, there's a better chance that the victim will be hurt more the next time. DWIs, we know if we don't slow down, reduce the number of people that are driving intoxicated on our streets, better chance of someone getting hurt. So we take our investigations very seriously. We try to be very impartial. If we get a report, a ready report of a dangerous driver, our officers go out there, contact the driver, have the driver do a field sobriety test. If the driver passes, then that's great. But on the other hand, if the driver's intoxicated, we're going to take action to ensure that the person is not driving. And, so as an example, a few hours ago, maybe about an hour ago, an officer was sent on a drug call. That officer has a suspect downstairs and is doing a very good drug investigation as we sit up there and speak. So we're trying to address some of the problems in Sand Point. And before we turn over to someone else to speak, if I'm not mistaken, I think the chief wanted to talk about one of the postings on Facebook involving an unsolved homicide and the possibility of a reward fund being established.
Well, I do, and that's my intent to close our report, so thank you for that. Those who have visited the page, and probably even those who have not, have been made aware of the fact that we posted, in light of so much attention on the page, an advertisement soliciting information from an old case we had 10 or 12 years ago, the homicide of Tony Ganesius, a local fellow whose family resided and all worked here and one contributing member to the community. And we know that the folks that perpetrated that crime, and all probability continued to exist here. And some information has come forward, a lot of response to the posting that we put up, which gives me great encouragement as to where that case may end up. Looking at different ways that we can further collect information in that regard. We talked a little bit earlier, and I had the idea of perhaps establishing a small reward fund that the city could manage. If they contributed initially even, you know, a few hundred dollars, asking for people to provide information that could result in a reward to them. And then other members of the community, I don't know if it's employers who used to employ some of the family members or whoever could contribute to that, but I think it's a positive way both to keep information flowing, to keep the case alive, to keep us with the best opportunity to actually end up charging someone should the pieces all fall into place, and I believe they will. So we talked a little bit about it earlier, and I would hope that perhaps the council would consider putting their best foot forward and start in such a fund.
Thank you. Thanks, Mike. Council, yeah. Have any comments?
Well, I could make a motion to start that fund for that 20 inches. Okay. We can probably do that at council comments. We'll only do that at council comments.
Sure.
Okay.
And I'm open for any questions.
Okay. Any questions for the chief or comments?
Thank you.
Thank you. Thanks, Gary. Dave.
Good evening. As far as the Sand Point Fire Department, we had a nail in repair this last month in one of our fire trucks. We had to fix that. Our cascade system is full of air. All of our equipment is operational at this point in time. It's been a really good year. We have had no fires, so it makes it pretty nice. Oh, and we also just got a grant for our cascade system. How much was that, Chief?
About $30,000.
$30,000 to replace our cascade air system. And it's probably would be a cascade system with a containment so we can legally fill up our bottles without them being exposed to humans. They're 3,200 PSI, so they're under a lot of pressure. And some of ours are composite tanks. It's just, they're supposed to be contained. You put them in and you fill them up. We've never had that. So sure will be nice. Appreciate it, Matt and Chief. As far as shops and streets, we've helped money. And Puffin Electric put in the Uplands Power in Bogart the last month. That was like 2.5 week project. Following that, we went in and took out one full trailer. It used to be Pico's, and took care of the Clugan's burnt down trailer. Peter Clugan's. We built a parking lot on the west side of Harbor Cafe. which Martin had touched bases on. We just cleaned everything up, put 50 yards of gravel down. We swept the roads twice, and we graded whenever it was raining. Pretty hard to grade when it's dry. We put new serpentine belts on our both of our Mack trucks. We added to the parking lot down at the water plant some of the material that we were, since we had to do so much bedding in our ditches, we had a lot of extra material, big rock, that came out of the boat harbor, so we stockpiled some at the shop, and then we added to the parking lot down at the water plant. We needed some more room. And we cleaned up around the shop as far as water and sewer. We received and rebuilt the altitude valve at the school pump house, which controls our water table and our tanks. We were running about 4 or 4.5 feet low on the big tank, because if we filled the big tank up anymore, the water in the little tank would start dumping out. So this altitude valve that we worked on adjusted the water elevation. So now we're within 6 inches of overflowing in our big tank. Gives us another couple hundred thousand gallons of water, which is nice to have for sure. We replaced the lift station pump at the Jumps lift station at Burnout. We're getting about 3 or 4 months of life out of a single pump. So we're trying to come up and do all the paperwork and cost estimates to possibly have that one rebuilt next year, get it back up to code. Boy, pumping the tanks, we've been pumping the sewage lagoon tank down there at Russiantown at least once a week. As far as the landfill, we had a DEC inspection yesterday, and we did really good on it. So, guys get an attaboy. We also used, on Thursday of last week, we had 6 Trident people up at our landfill cleaning up for 2.5 hours, and then on Friday we had 5 of their employees with our employees cleaning the landfill. We serviced our garbage truck. The garbage truck went down last week. We had to get an alternator in on a speed packer last Friday. The alternator's bearings went out. We have 4 dumpsters that are in due repair. We need to replace the bottoms of them. We have 2 recycled dumpsters that was sitting over here at our team, over in front of our team center. They'd asked to be removed, so we removed them. They're sitting on our flatbed truck right now, but those dumpsters we can't use them. They don't fit on our truck. They're a different size. We had to do some welding on the bucket of our skid steer. And our pickup truck died. Talking to Julius this evening, they still can't figure it out. Our computer's not throwing the codes out, which we need to find out. So I'll probably be calling someone tomorrow, Chevy dealer, to see if they can kind of walk us through it. As far as the recycle center, crushing glass, everything's beautiful over there. We got a big kudos from DEC yesterday on the recycle center. It's all nice and clean. Everything's gorgeous, you know. Everything's organized, and all the glass is all swept up off the floors. They really like that. And we did some furnace repairs, getting ready for winter for the waste oil burner to work in. And that's all I have.
Thanks, Dave. Council have any? Sure.
Did that fence ever get addressed over?
No, but I've got some parts coming for it. I had to get some top caps for the top rails and stuff, so, yeah.
Andy? DEC was out visiting the landfill yesterday. Are they going to have is there a scorecard or a report or something?
Yeah, they say it goes by points. And the only thing that they didn't really like, which they're pretty much going to tell us we're going to need, is a recovery system for the freons that the 134A that they use in cars, vehicles. We have no way to recuperate that. And they don't like the stuff going out in the ozone. So they're going to make us fix that. And they, of course, yesterday being raining, we had some mud puddles up there, which they call ponding. They didn't like seeing that, but they're real small. It was basically at the toe of the slope where we bury our garbage. But it's something we, you know, it was just one of those after 2 months of no rain, it rained.
How about an update on the rock crushers up there? We could talk about that through the
So far, I've ordered all the troughing rollers, the impact rollers, some skirt rubber. I got all the new belting coming, all the lacing to do the belt. And as soon as I get done with the Nagai lift station, we're rebuilding the Nagai right now, lift station. As soon as we get that rebuilt, I'm going to be jumping on it as the parts come in. My gear, I think, is 1 week out. I need to call the guy tomorrow. He wasn't in yesterday. I didn't get a chance today. But we're 1 year on that. And then we disassemble a few parts and we start reassembling. It's going to be a big project, though. It's not an overnight thing. But I promise to work on it.
Well, we'll go back to the... you know, just a compliment for the Public Works Department. If you looked around 3 years ago, we started removing buildings and all derelict vehicles and just things that have been lying around town so far. If you look around town, most of those buildings are gone. Most of the derelict vehicles, container, gold, kind of dumpster type thing, they've been removed. So just wanted to compliment your department for you guys taking care of that.
Yeah, I think in a little over a year we've moved 5 trailers out of the trailer court. So.
Right, and it's a continuation. It's to any person who has anything that's out there that needs to be moved, you know, just contact the Public Works Department. Mm-hmm. One day it's here, we'll continue that program forward. Thanks, Dave.
Morning.
Thank you. Good evening, guys. Just a quick report. We service boat lifts, oils, filters, grease. It's not noted, but the straps have been changed on both lifts. Cables will need to be changed next year. We're working on it's the second year on them. And the guys removed most of the garbage from the trough at the wall. But it's ongoing. And Upland's electrical has been covered. But the guys keep on doing dump runs as needed. It's slowed down a little bit, but it's still steady. And the guys, they completed the capping on trestle to T&A floats. There was some pretty bad wood there, especially right at the beginning. And they steam cleaned both of them. Turned out nice. And I'd ordered signs for around the harbor. I've got to order a couple more, like for a watering spot in the wintertime and load and unload zone only, or no tie up just for loading and offloading only. That's down at the bottom of the boat ramps, the one to T&A and floats, and the one to B&C floats. And that's all I have.
Thank you. Thank you, Mooney. Council, any comments, questions for Mooney? Earlier in our discussion, we talked about the aluminum backing on the spigots that we're sticking up, just for information. Those will be putting those aluminum
yes, brackets. We'll be getting to that. We have the material for it. We just got to cut the material up and drill holes in the brackets and put them in place. Well, we have all the material for the operation.
Okay. Any other comments? Thank you.
Thank you.
Okay, under new business. So, a Simon Derby request.
My name's on there, so it's just our annual donation request for Silver Salmon Derby for this year of $750. It goes towards the purchase of prizes and supplies. We have a new logo this year, if anybody's interested. We got getting some new sweatshirt colors, too, I think. And what else? It seems to be a good success every year. People seem to enjoy it. If anybody wants to volunteer, let us know. We can put you in a spot. But, yeah, it's just our annual donation request. You guys donated last year. The request is the same as last year's as well.
Okay. Council, any council have any comments? Thanks for it.
I'll make a motion to donate $750 for the 2014 Silver Thumb movie.
Second. Any further discussion? Andy?
Danny?
Yes.
Jack?
Yes.
Shirley?
Yes.
Mariette?
Would I need to abstain? My name is on this. Okay, abstain.
Marita?
Yes.
Okay. What we need, thank you.
Thank you.
QTT, environmental donation request. Earlier today, we had QTT here with the request, and we did discuss it at the workshop. The council member wanted to tackle that.
They were requesting some garbage bags that the city gets from Alpar for their cleaning and some funding to get supplies for a barbecue after. So I'll make a motion that we donate the garbage bags they need and give them $200 to help get their barbecue going.
A second.
Any further discussion? Andy?
Shirley?
Yes.
Danny?
Yes.
Jack?
Yes.
Marita?
Yes.
Fayette?
Yes.
Okay, next business is KSDP donation request. Austin?
Also request for any support that they could give for our membership fundraiser. We mentioned a bill haul out. There's some discussion about maybe modifying that request.
Okay. In our workshop this afternoon, we did discuss it for a bit. Council on you.
I'll make a motion to donate $500 towards the membership drive for them to use it as needed.
Mm-hmm. Any further discussion? Andy?
Briette?
Yes.
Marita?
Yes.
Jack?
Yes.
Danny?
Yes.
Shirley?
Yes.
There you go.
Yeah. Thank you.
All right. Yes. Okay, I'm sorry. One second.
The Baltimore phone system.
Oh,
we need.
First of all, he snuck out a little bit too fast. Well, I guess while we're waiting for Austin, I could, the next order of business is the police chief position update. We discussed that at the workshop today, and after the application reviews, we decided to make a recommendation to the council
at the workshop offering the position to Sergeant.
I wonder if you're just talking about me. I heard it on the radio.
we'll get you after I finish this. We'll have you make a comment. To Sergeant Livingston at the next meeting in September, we'll present a contract for approval and confirmation from the council at our next meeting, just update on the police chief's position, just so we where we are and what we decided at the workshop today for the records. Okay? Austin.
Question?
Yes.
You were asking about the microphone.
Yeah, okay. And the letter also had an FYI about the microphone system for the city chambers to have professional microphones installed to more properly broadcast the meetings. And we had talked about this in the past, and we have acquired a grant to go ahead and perform this. And we wanted to, I wanted to see if this was something that the city council wanted to move on, to give us permission to do, if there was any discussion that they had about it, concerns or otherwise. Because we talked about it, and I think everyone knew about it, but there hadn't been anything, you know, officially put down.
Right. Could you explain a little bit, because we have some public here, exactly what it's going to entail as far as the lighting system for knowing when you're on the air and off the air? Because we do, KSDP announces our meetings and also the borough, but just so you could update maybe for public information.
For about over a year now, we've been broadcasting the meetings over the radio, and we use this one single microphone system, which works fairly well, surprisingly well for what it is, but it's very unprofessional, running a wire through the window down to the studio, and it's not the way it should be done. And standard practice would be to have a city chamber microphones. So we're hoping to have a series of microphones, either ones that we can hang, like a choir type system, or ones that we could install during every meeting for the city council members and for the audience, so that way it'll be professional broadcast. And then we'd install a light system in the back that says over the air or on air, giving everyone notification about when you are on the air, so that way there's no question about that. It just kind of brings a bit of professionalism to the operation and gives everyone the best quality broadcast that we can ask for.
Thank you, Austin. That clarification was great. Council?
Well, earlier in the workshop, we discussed the fact that we go into executive session, and we would like to have some master switch that we can shut off just to ensure the privacy of our conversation. And Austin said he's going to work with your person on getting that, or else just...
Absolutely.
That was only my main concern, was us having the ability to turn it off and on.
Any further council comments? Thank you, Austin.
I'll make a motion to let KSTP install a microphone system along with a master switch and a light.
Second.
Further discussion? Hearing none. Andy?
Rayette?
Yes.
Narita?
Yes.
Jack?
Yes.
Danny?
Yes.
Shirley?
Yes.
Okay, thank you. Next order of business is Reclaim Alaska. Andy?
Counting the votes here. Yes, that is, I think as most everyone knows, there's a substance abuse summit September 10th through 12th in Anchorage. I think the reason it's on the agenda today is not only to make council members aware and see who might have interest in participating, or those within the
other employees with the city, because I know the public safety department's going to be involved in this, but also to see how that might conflict with next month's meeting. So the second Tuesday in September would be September 9th. This summit starts on September 10th. I think it's 3 days. So there could be, if people wanted to attend that, there could be a conflict there. The discussion earlier today was, you know, this is an issue that obviously we've already touched on in this meeting alone, but the themes of that meeting are appropriate for Sandpoint. It's important. This is a regional summit. It's not just Sandpoint this time, although we claim Alaska has its roots here, but I think it's kind of, it's good that that message is broadened to the whole Aleutian region. So it seems like it would have good content, it's relevant. Some employees from the city would be participating anyway, and it would be a good chance to catch up with legislators, businesses, other folks, and things like that. So the discussion earlier today was potentially postponing next month's meeting by just 1 week, so to avoid the conflict of the summit. I think in a nutshell. Mm-hmm.
Council have any comments? Chief, do you guys have any comments on the Reclaim Alaska?
No, we were pretty honored to be asked to be presenters there. Obviously, the roots of Reclaim Alaska not only came from here, they belong here, so they're ours. I'm sure that the group's honored that it was used, but the ownership belongs to Sandpoint. And it's a healthy thing. Yeah, I strongly encourage the city to support it in every way. And if I need rescheduling a meeting, I think that probably is appropriate.
Okay. Any other comments? HDR.
Yes, sir. So, like I discussed earlier, we have a construction firm in place to repave Airport Road, but we need a construction admin team and inspection personnel to kind of look over the QAP shoulder and provide the administrative support from the city for this. HDR was the design firm. They submitted a proposal to do the construction admin and inspection. That proposal is included here in the packet. To me, it's a fairly solid proposal, and comes in at $126,000, which is pretty reasonable for a month's worth of work. And that's a not-to-exceed proposal. I think they're going to do it on time and material, so that means I'd have to stay on top of them and make sure that they're doing the work that they said they would do during that month. But my recommendation would be to approve this, especially since we'll need someone on board in about a week or 10 days when they do start putting together the aggregates and removing pavement and things like that. So that would include the inspection and all the administration and doing submittals and overlooking the pollution and prevention plan and all of those things.
Okay.
And one other note, I brought this up earlier today. HDR did do the road design, and there's some money still left. What this would be considered if it's approved is just an amendment, a contract amendment to their previous contract to add on additional duties. And since there's some money left in that design contract, that would just roll over into the construction admin anyway.
Okay, thank you. Andy, if council have any comments?
Is this other company, Shannon and Wilson, is that part of the HDR?
They are, they do the inspection, they do the testing of the material.
Your HDR is something else. They're going to be our testing people.
Okay.
Keep Dave Jackson.
Yeah, so their price is included in that.
Okay. No other comments?
I'll make a motion to approve the contract with HDR for the their proposal.
I'll second. You can have it.
Any further discussion? None. Any questions?
Marita?
Yes.
Sherman?
Yes.
Danny?
Yes.
Mariette?
Yes.
Jack?
Yes.
Okay. Thank you. Public comments? Edie?
Yeah.
Sorry, she was
registered. Just a couple things that I'd like to comment on. Every time I drive through the harbor, there's just not enough parking. And I know it's on private property, but there are some vehicles that are never going to move. And I was wondering if there's a way that the city could contact the powers that be about doing something to get rid of them. I think that they're just taking up space. And they're a hazard. And they've been there for years, but those could be taken care of. I don't know whose responsibility it is, but it's badly needed parking. And just listening to the comments tonight, comments on photos from the police department. You know, I saw a couple, I think, on Facebook, and I've heard comments. I think. Mostly, they don't need to be there, but there's a couple that I think are beneficial when there are serious offenders, like sex offenders, or really serious criminals. People, I don't know who they are, I don't know what they look like, and I kind of appreciate being forewarned. You know, as long as they are indeed guilty of the crime that they've been accused of, I would like to know who they are. I don't know everybody in town. As small as we are, it's big enough, I just don't know. And I appreciate that. They were heads up. And then talking about our people, I think Chief Dave Stokes, Susan Cartwright, they're going to be missed. They've all added tremendous to the community. I wish there was a way we could encourage them to stay. I think they've been an important asset in their fields, and I'm really sorry to see them go. Last spring, I've been meaning to come and comment about the auger cleanup along the highway. I loved that. I had envisioned driving through a tunnel of augers because they were growing so big and over the road. And when I saw the way they cleaned that up, I thought that was terrific. I hope they keep it up. I don't know what it is, but the tropics are what, but our vegetation is just thriving. So I can see where that's going to need to happen again. And I just want to say that I appreciate that. And the trailer cleanup, we were going for a drive one evening. I saw some of the trailer cleanup. Wow, that's nice. And some of that stuff was really hazardous, and I appreciate that. So just a
thank you, Edie. We appreciate listening to your comments. And as a matter of fact, in our workshop this afternoon, we did discuss how important the cases are that are really those cases that are detrimental to society. So they did bring that up at the workshop today. But, you know, those were the ones you're talking about, being able to still have those out to notify the public. So that was discussed today, too. But we appreciate your comments. Thank you. Joanna?
Hi, my name is Joanna Ludwig. I was born and raised in this town. And a pit bull ban was something that I wanted to ask for the last few years, and I kept procrastinating on it. And then I noticed that someone has just bought another pit bull to the town. So some of you guys have this letter. I'm not sure what I should do, so I think I'm just going to read the letter. To Sandpoint Mayor and City Council members, 5 years ago, my father was almost killed by a pit bull on my land here in Sandpoint. Our family dog, Shadow, immediately jumped onto the pit bull. And a vicious fight ensued. My dad also got a huge splinter over the dog's head. The police chief asked the owner to turn over the dog, and she refused and told him to get a search warrant. And then she slammed the door. The chief told me then, when he comes back to serve the warrant, then we'll be blood. So then a few days later, I was working on a satellite dish on my property, and I turned around to see a vicious 200-pound pit bull rushing at me in full attack mode. I thought that I was going to be killed. At the last moment, and before he could bite into my neck, the dog was shot and went running off to die. I think that the least that would have happened to me would have been getting my face ripped off. The next day, during a nap, my heart stopped beating. And I woke abruptly, and it started beating again. Hundreds of townspeople told me that they were afraid of the same pit bull and were very relieved to hear that it was gone. I hope that you will consider a pit bull ban for Sandpoint. Thank you very much.
Thanks, Joanna. Council comments?
Are you done from public?
Oh, I'm sorry. Public, yes. I'm sorry. Melanie?
Well, I'd just like to add to what Joanna said. My name is Melanie Ludwig-Roder. I personally witnessed the attack by that pit bull that day. I was standing in my kitchen watching through the window along with my son, Jonathan. He witnessed it also. My husband, John Roder, was down there with her. And only because I told him to take the gun, as he had a gun with them. I personally watched them let go of that dog as it ran, as it charged directly at Joanna. My husband somehow, miraculously, was able to pull that gun and shoot it. And it took 3 shots in that dog before it stopped its forward motion. It was still going for her. By the 3rd shot, it stopped and then started running down the boardwalk and then dropped at the end of the boardwalk. I saw the other day that dog that she's talking about, the new pit bull in town, and it was down in the same neighborhood again, and it was like deja vu. Oh my God, it was like acting just like the other dog had. I don't have anything against people's pets, but it just seems that the pit bull has insatiable desire to attack people. I have heard also that this dog is doing the little head-butting thing in the private parts area of guys. Now, I don't know if this is something that the owner has taught the dog, but having fended it off, my husband was the one that he did this to, and my husband just whacked it on the side of the head, and it went running away. Well, a few days later, he was coming from the boat late in the evening, and the dog was waiting for him and knew him for the guy that hit him in the head, and it went after him again. You know, he's not here right now. He's not in town, so he can't come and tell you that, and he probably wouldn't, but he told me that, and so I thought I should relay it on to you, too. I just think this is a nice small town that we shouldn't have to be afraid of, you know, pets. I mean, if pets are a problem, they should be kept restrained. I know that's the law here, and I know that a lot of dogs are able to walk around and stuff, but they're not evil dogs, and they're not causing problems. So I'd just like to be on record in support of the ban also.
I know we had an animal control officer here at one point in time, and I know we do have a
there's a leash law that's in our book that talks about controlling your animals. I mean, I think probably a point in the sense of direction that we would take. And have you notified the owner of this dog?
No, I have not talked with them, no. I know that my husband did, and wondered what was going on, you know, why he was doing that to him. And, you know, how people talk around town, well, kind of the rumor is this something that was taught to the dog? I mean, I wouldn't like that if I was a guy.
Well, I know that dogs are always seems to be a topic in our community, and they have been, and we've, you know, we've had them in the holding cell for, well, the holding area for a period of time for people to come back and reclaim their dogs, which they have, and that system worked pretty well, but that also was a controversial part of our program also, you know, and it's tough. Dogs are hard to handle, but I agree with you guys. When you have an animal that is aggressive, like especially in your situation, I'd be very afraid of an animal of that stature myself, if it ever happened to me, and it hasn't, but I fully agree with how you feel. I don't know how we could, the council, and how do we go about researching and finding a program that fits. I think it's making the owner responsible for her pets. So, Chief, you may have something to add to that.
Sure, yeah, and you kind of hit on the head. I mean, this is an administrative request at the council if you really want an ordinance that would prevent those kind of animals from being there. I've never heard of one. Not to say they don't exist by any right. Pitbull has a notorious reputation for being a vicious animal by breed. I mean, that's what they were bred for. But at the same time, I would just encourage you to call right away. And one thing that you could do that would be a blessing for us, we will respond to it. But if you get your phone out and just snap a picture of the dog, where it's at, then there's no argument about whose dog it is, what it looks like, where it was at, the fact that it wasn't restrained. Those things would help us immensely in addressing it. We don't have to actually catch a dog, but we could address it. And, you know, progressively, we would make contact with the owner, and then we would step it up to a citation if the dog was loose, and eventually he'd be accountable for it, the dog would go away. That's what's on the books now. And we are, you know, actively having patrols when time allows for animals that are at large. We don't have a full-time or even a part-time specific dog catcher, but we are out there. And the animals we focus on are animals that are a threat to people. Not that we ignore the rest, but those are certainly a priority over those that just wander and really aren't a problem. So I'm sympathetic. I guess I would ask for your help and allow me to give you help. And you know, if the council wants to take a look at this, we could probably find some language in places, but that's entirely a political decision, I guess, not administrative.
Council member have a comment on that? They might want to. Andy?
Mr. Mayor, yeah. We're looking at the code in Title 12, Public Safety, Chapter 1. There is a section there about vicious dogs. It's pretty clear. Any dog, I'll just read a few things. Any dog, licensed or unlicensed, that an enforcement officer has, in the reasonable exercise of judgment, determined to be vicious, shall be destroyed by the enforcement officer. If the vicious dog poses an imminent threat of harm to a person or property, the dog may be destroyed to prevent such harm from occurring without notice to the owner. In other cases, the enforcement officer, if the owner can be identified, give the owner of the dog notice and an opportunity to be heard prior to destruction of the dog. That's Section A. Section B is no person may own, possess, or keep a vicious dog in the city. So I don't think destruction may be the last resort, and it should have an opportunity to get a dog out of the city, but I think it's pretty clear. There is a definition of vicious dog, too. Any dog that is attacked or bitten a person or domestic animal without predication or molestation, or which by its action gives an indication it is likely to attack or bite a person or domestic animal without provocation or molestation.
So that's in the ordinance. We would encourage any time there is a situation like that you would, whomever it may be, that would at least contact the police department. Dial 911, I guess, is the most easiest way to do it. Pretty close. I'm not going to take a picture of it or if that does happen. But the case is, you know, when it does happen, how do you, you know, you really can't predict a dog that at that period of time which you've encountered that. So I would understand. Yes?
Yeah, if you Google pit bull bans, You will be amazed at the provinces and the counties around the world, in Canada and the U.S. that are. One site I went to, I said, where are pit bulls banned? And the answer was, there's too many cities and areas to list here. And they wanted to send me to another website. So you'll see that it's becoming a lot more common. Another thing that you could Google, if you ever Google pit bull attacks, you will be horrified and sickened and probably crying after you read about 10 stories. And after thinking about this all this time, I'll bet you that all these cities and areas that have pit bull bans in place are brought for by citizens like me, where it's happened to me or my family member. Because the normal person that has never been in the throes of a pit bull attack is not going to have enough balls to come to any meeting and ask for it. Thank you.
I think maybe also for council meetings, it would be a good council meeting item to come make a presentation.
Yeah, think about it.
And come up and look at.
You guys want me to draft an ordinance? We'd be more than happy to.
Okay. I think that's a good start.
We'll cover all vicious dogs.
Okay. Edie?
Well, I remember when this happened. And not only did she have to weather the experience of a pit bull, but she had to weather a verbal assault out in the media. That people who sympathize with the pit bull. I mean, she got it from two sides, and it really was not a good experience, I would guess.
Melanie?
It wasn't just her being assaulted, but it was also John and I. And we had a major campaign just start calling our phone. Like, the phone was ringing continuously from pit bull people, like, being really mean. I mean, like, I had to hang up on some of them because they were being so rude and so mean. And then finally, like, about the third call, it was a lady who was, like, the head of this whole pit bull organization. And so she just wanted to know the story because she was getting one side of the story. And so I just laid it all out to her. I told her the whole thing. And she said, okay. She said, that's all I needed to know. I will stop the calls right now. And they stopped. I mean, they were, like, coming in continuously before I came home. And like I said, after the third one that I answered, it was her. And she stopped it. And once they find out the real truth behind the whole incident, you know, it's a different story. They know that my husband was in the right to shoot it. I mean, he saved her life. He literally saved her life. That dog was going for her, like, as fast as it could go.
Yeah, and we can't even demonstrate how fast it was coming out. They were both intoxicated and they let the dog go.
Well, to me, seeing from the side there, it almost looked like the guy, like, let it go. Like, you know, like, encouraged it to go toward her. And it's such a nightmare. I mean, I can remember every little detail of that, watching that happen to this day. And like I said, I saw that dog down there the other day, and it was like, oh no, not again. So,
well, I think a good start would be to make it an agenda item, and you know, we have passion for that, and I think it would be a good thing to do is to make the presentation and then in the form, you get in the form of an ordinance, but it would take, and you said that.
Yeah. I'll be happy to partner with you.
Okay. Does that help?
See, the difference with this dog is it's got a jaw that's like a bear. Okay, it will take a black Labrador an hour to kill you. It'll take a pit bull 15 seconds to kill you.
I think
Thank you.
You're welcome. Yes. No, that's so. Pretty aware of pit bulls. I think most of America's like
yeah.
I read your article, the articles you have, and you watch the news, and you're absolutely correct that's one of the animals that's been earmarked and tagged as a never aggressive animal. Any other public comments? Jack?
Yeah, I have a comment. You know, we've been having, you know, we go down to Westport sometimes part of the year, but when we came up here this time, and boy, this town, it's really bad with the drugs. Boy, the worst I've ever seen it. You know, we, and and I brought it to your attention, the chief's attention a couple times. But, you know, our neighbors, right where we're at, you know, they're not just selling pot, it's some of the other stuff, I'm sure, but all those people are there. I don't know, it just seems like things are being looked at.
I think that the drug problem and alcohol abuse is probably not going to go away. I mean, that's something that we're maybe not going to be able to eliminate here, but I think some of the bad behavior due to the drugs and alcohol, maybe, you know, if there's more that you could do to curb some of that. In the last couple of days in our neighborhood, it has been terrible. And we've been there for coming on 25 years now, and we have not seen it as bad as it has been. You know, it's out in the open, and it's drunken people wandering around all day, and it's just getting to the point where I think that it needs more attention than it's getting. I know it's gotten some. We can call in and complain, and they can come on a noise complaint, but a lot of times it's up and down in the night type of thing, and this just isn't at nighttime. This is going on during the daytime. It's pretty chaotic, and I'm surprised nobody's gotten hurt at this point yet, due to some of the activity that's going on down there. I don't know how the rest of your neighbors are right now, but ours is pretty bad. It's pretty saturated down there. So I don't know if there's something more that we can be doing. Some of the buildings that are inhabited down there are owned by people that aren't living here in town and have other people living in them. Whether they're fully aware of what's going on there or not, I don't know. There seems like there's a lot of traffic coming and going, different people. So I don't know if there's something more that can be done to just get it back under the covers a little bit. I don't think we're going to stop it, but maybe just so it's not so public and so blatant.
Chief, maybe you can respond to that. You have the question. If you get a response to it.
Well, we've heightened our presence there. I'm not certain that's the worst I've seen it since I've been here. Situationally, when senior takes the problem, it feels like that for sure. There are elements. We've made some great strides over a period of time, and there are things in the works right now. But you take four people and all the responsibility that we have, and you're going to find that the vast majority of our abilities are to respond to issues that exist, not necessarily have an opportunity for, launching investigations and dedicate manpower hours to
for investigations to be launched or anything like that. Not necessarily asking for that, but when there's people wandering around for a good portion of the day, intoxicated back and forth, there should be some opportunity. And when there's people sitting outside for 3 hours in the evening over by the dumpster, they're sitting out there for, a period of time in the evening and nobody seems to have noticed. I'm just saying there is a problem, and I don't know that. I'm just requesting a little more help as well.
Sure, and I'm sympathetic and responsive. I'm not being defensive. Yeah. I certainly am not going to say that everything's cleaned up and satisfied. I'm happy that that's not the case. It's a battle for all of us. It's not just a battle for the police department. Frankly, some people drinking and sitting by the dumpster carrying on in the middle of the day doesn't violate any ordinance or law. It may not be pleasant to deal with.
Isn't it against law to have public containers and alcohol out in public? Isn't there a drunken in public ordinance?
There's not a drunken in public ordinance. Nobody's leaving the bar arrested and lingering in the parking lot. There are some tools that we can employ. And certainly there are places that they're going to linger more than others. And unfortunately, the trailer park with owners not being here and the conditions what they are, and that being a place that people of low income can manage to live in, that's some of the stuff that they attract.
I
am sympathetic, and I won't be defensive.
We
have a big responsibility to it.
I guess then the further question would be on some of these dwellings that are being rented out. I know I brought it up to a few folks here before. Is there anything, or can there be an ordinance brought up to what is a rentable dwelling? How bad does that place have to get before it's considered a safety or health violation? Or, we're all pretty close together down there, so there's always a concern of fire as well. So just that maybe the council has some ideas on what can be done and
everything. If I may?
Sure.
A big part of your frustration, what we're trying to deal with the Reclaim Alaska issue, mm-hmm. and the summer coming in. And today, there was a pretty good example that landed on our desk, which was a court case decision in which officers were looking for a suspect with a warrant. They went to a door where they knew he'd been, and somebody else answered the door and started to slam in their face, and they stopped mm-hmm. at the door anyway, and then they had an exchange and patted the guy down. Well, they were looking for the suspect, and they found cocaine on him and money and all kinds of other contraband, and obviously put him in jail. And the courts have ruled that, you know, everything should be thrown out because officers didn't have a right to put their foot in the door and stop the door from being shut. Those are the rules that we contend with. So sometimes public expectation is not really realistic. It's sad, but it's true, and I think Rayette will tell you as part of, you know, the group local here, Reclaim Alaska, that's something that we struggle with. It's a huge frustration, the fines that we have on us as law enforcement and the opportunities for criminals to, you know, motor around the community and do these things without our ability to even touch them without having a whole bunch of... Yeah. But at the same time, that protects your rights, and, you know, there are issues there, too. And nobody wants someone coming into their home, so you don't want it to go too far. And perhaps we have to abide by the rules that are there. We might not like them.
Yeah, well, understanding is definitely a fine line between what you can and can't do.
Wayne?
On the same subject, the city doesn't have an ordinance for arresting the public?
No, trespassing public.
Well, we've got a vicious dog ordinance. Why can't we have that as an ordinance?
Because you need to be able to walk home from the bar.
That's what I'm getting at.
In Alaska, there used to be a jump in public law and constitutional courts that have banished that. That's something you can't do. You can't tell someone they can't be jumped in public.
Well,
it's right here in your ordinance, right here.
Well,
okay, you're not supposed to be disorderly conduct, drunk on the roadway. You just gotta read your ordinances.
I would.
But no, it's, yeah. You know, I know there's too much pitying going around here. You know, nobody wants to say anything, you know, about the dog, you know. Those are drug dogs. They're taught from drugs. And the guy who has them in town, he's a drug dealer. Lauren, he's a drug dealer. And same with Virgil. He's a drug dealer. He sells meth and heroin. I've known people that have bought stuff from them. So, I mean, you know, you guys were, there was something on the internet about this guy that you had on the plane, you told him to go home. We don't want him here. What about the people that live here that are soundproof? Why don't you guys do something about that?
No,
I know, but I'm just saying, you know, you see all these people, these new drugs are really damaging this community. Boy, you just see it. It's terrible, and I just think more needs to be done here. You know, I brought it up to Martin and the chief two times. She was up there. No, I know. I didn't say. But, we just want everything to be okay with the community. We don't want any fight or anything. You said you were going to controlling where we live. None of that was ever done. You know, none of that was ever done.
Well,
we can just look at where we live here and see, I don't know how many people are drunk and driving and speeding. And you have a chance to catch Lauren. A lot of times, she used to speed and he goes up that road about 30 different times. You know, so I just don't know. It just seems like a blind eye, you know.
Well, Jack, I would hope that that's not. I would hope that when you come to our office and we talk with you, that we're trying to do what you ask us to do.
Yeah.
He just told you, he just filled you in on what takes place in these situations. So sometimes our hands are tied also with the public. It's just that we have to operate within the laws that are set before us too. We abide by the court decision. We abide by what they tell us to do. He is the chief. They enforce the law, but they need participants like you also to bring that to their attention. You did. That was, what, a week ago that you brought that to our attention?
Yeah, right.
So
actually, I think I brought it
to
your attention back in May.
Yeah.
And then he came in again in June or July.
And they've stepped up driving down there. I get to watch once in a while. They've stepped up driving late at night. Probably not during the daytime, you're right. Maybe there needs more, but that's the chief. Hopefully that he'll direct his officers on patrol to do that. So we can address those issues. We'll go out of our way the best we can to help the public. We want to help everybody. We want to be sitting, it would be fair to say that we need to be sitting in your house. Our house should be at the same address your house is and see if we like it. I understand what you're saying.
Sure, sure.
So hopefully we can address that for you.
Sure. And what I'm saying, the more of this drug problem, it gets to be, when it gets to be worse like it is, there's going to be more homeless people here. Like, there's already homeless people in town because of drugs. And they're going to be living in dwellings next to us, or like Dallas's place, where it shouldn't be any fit for people to live there. And the renters, we talk to the people that own that place, they don't even know who's living there. So, you know, you go in there, it's wet, moldy, whatever. But you got these people here, and they're doing transaction of drugs. So, you know.
I think you're hearing a lot of Jeff's pent-up frustration over a period of time.
Yeah, well, just, you know, everybody pussyfoots around. And the
problem, I think, for us right now is just the noise level as well down there. We've been having a lot of noise problems, and it's not really getting, you know, I mean, it's just the caliber of people that, you know, you can complain. And like I said, for quite a while, I went over and tried to handle my own until, you know, my own until recently, but, you know, they'll quiet down for a little bit, and then it seems to be forgotten and back out the door again. So it's a lot of frustration. And as, you know,
sure.
Yeah, I'm a little over frustrated right now, but it is a problem, and we do live with it day to day. And the last couple of days and nights have been pretty disruptive.
I want to comment on Chief's comment about reclaim. You know, one of our goals with the Reclaim Alaska is to take the privacy laws that our state has, like he was saying. Their hands are so tied, and I've said it, after serving on a jury, I feel like the criminal is a person who has the rights, and we don't have any rights as citizens.
Sure.
And so one of our goals is to go to the legislation, flood them with letters, start trying to even create it, if it starts here, and as we expand throughout the state, because really, I mean, they can do what they can do, but like you said, when the court does what they do, it's like, you know. So I encourage you to attend the meetings when we have them, and you guys are in town, and maybe take part, because there's only so many people who can do each task, because it really does take a lot of time and effort and energy to do the things that we're trying to do, which one of them is our conversation's been, you know, going to the legislation and bringing up this issue, you know, finding housing for people who are recovering in our community. You know, we have like three or four main things that we're focusing on, and the more bodies that are there that can help us, the more we will be able to accomplish. Just a little food for thought.
Jack?
Yeah, Mr. Mayor, I don't want to be out of line here, but are we done with public comment?
Okay. I just want to make one other comment. I did have the opportunity to go to Reclaim Alaska as sit in the audience in June, and it was a very constructive meeting. So I think what you're going to see in the future, Chief has talked about it, we touched on it a little bit. Those are some issues that are taking place now in the state of Alaska. It's going to start in September. So, you know, also there's tools that we can use. There'll be tools available to Chief, you know, that we've talked about it. So maybe, you know, we just need to move this forward and be a little bit more, you know, sympathetic, but still do our job. I agree. Jack? Oh, Chief?
I apologize. I sat here quietly, and I want the option, just the opportunity maybe to close. And my hat's off to Jack and for the passion. And that's exactly what we need. So I'm ecstatic that we're sitting here talking about it and that emotion is high. Because I've never seen any place in Sandpoint, like Sandpoint, where no one wants to be involved. If I had a dollar for every time I heard, don't use my name, don't say I said anything, this is anonymous, right? I mean, I'd be a rich man. Sure. I really would. So my hat is off to you.
Yeah, I'm sorry. I'm a little
I'm fine. But, you know, last night you had a call on the problem down there.
Sure.
We were on a DUI.
Yeah.
And we were chasing on foot, you know, drug dealers through the woods out towards the ocean. And there were reasons that we couldn't be there. Sure. We did try to get back there and know that we made a call and got there. So we want to be responsible in following up. But, you know, the fact that you bringing these up, it's very good. And also, I invite you to come to the department. I will show you from a year and a half, a year ago, or 2 years ago, how much we have done.
Sure, I'm sure it's pretty frustrating on your part when it's hard to get everything connected right. And, things fall through the cracks. And,
So don't sit around too much. Just go out there and get in everybody else's faces.
Yeah.
Maybe, you know, the fact that we're talking about this is I see a very positive event.
Sure. Thank you for coming.
Yeah.
Thank you. I just like to make a comment that, you know, I appreciate all the work that's been done on this problem, because it's been a problem that we've talked about for a long time. But just to give you a demonstration of how it's progressing, and it's progressing pretty fast. We had at least 3 boats on the fishing ground this summer making deliveries. Some of them didn't even fish. I mean, they come and anchor up for 5 hours to make deliveries and pull their anchor and leave. I mean, you know, this problem is not going away, and more we address it somehow or another, the better off it's going to be. I mean, we've got to do something. I mean, just can't sit back, because sooner or later somebody's going to knock on your door at 2 o'clock in the morning, you're going to wind up blowing the guy away. You know, and you don't want to see that.
I've seen that same thing happen, Dick, too. Where we fish there, too. Same thing. Yeah, yeah.
Well, you know, that's good that you've seen those things. And then what's nice is also to be able to call our police department, to call the drug task force, if you will, and report these activities that take place. It helps them out a lot. I believe it does. And it's a tough world. I mean, every place we go, the meetings that I've been to, that's what they talk about. Their main topic is how do we curb and control the substance abuse. And that's the big thing. So... And they brought it up at the meeting in June. It was every community that was there, that was at that meeting, that made their presentation, had the same issue, talked about the same thing we talked about. So it's a topic that's a very hard topic to talk about, but it's the fact of life that these things are happening, and I'm hopefully that we can address those issues, and hopefully we can move in a positive direction. I think we want to move in a positive direction, make this a good place to live in, and a nice neighborhood to where you can... don't hear all these noises and activities going on. So, but we need public input. They need public help also to identify the issues. So don't be afraid to step up and make a telephone call. I think that's a good thing to do. Any Shirley?
You said that they were hanging out at the dumpster drinking and partying.
There was a carload of kids over there for about 3 hours. We probably should have called Dad and Jewers. You know, I'm not really generally a confrontational person until recently, and I don't like speaking in public, and I really don't like being on the stand in the middle of the night. It's not something I'm taking any, you know, it's really hard for me to make that phone call even when I'm being kept up at night. I'm not a really out there person, you know, for the most part. I'm pretty...
So my question is, where the dumpsters are located, it's either public property or it belongs to him again. Mm-hmm. And as the property owners, they're private property owners, they might object to that. Maybe they need to be informed so they can say, get those people off my property, you know. Let them know that they're not welcome to hang out there and party there on their property. A deterrent, I don't know.
Okay. Thanks, Julie. Any further comments on this issue? Any other? Jack?
Oh, yeah. Are we on council now? Because I want to hear my comments.
Yeah, we'll be on council. I'm just for the public right now. Any further comments? Dick?
One more comment. I talked to Julie a couple times about it, and I heard, I think Danny mentioned it earlier this evening, that crane down there, it just bothers the heck out of me that we're just watching it rust away.
We're working on that.
We have,
yeah.
You know, if we could do something to make that thing get used. I mean, if I use it and I break it, I mean, that's one thing. That's equipment. But if it's just going to sit there and rust away, that's what's going to happen with the Rams and whatnot if they extend it out like that.
Mooney has an answer for us at the workshop today. He did fill us in that he is working, made some inquiries, and we're working on that, Mooney, right?
Correct.
And we'll hopefully have some type of direction soon?
Yes.
Okay.
I've been working with, I'm stealing Homer's crane use agreement.
Yeah. All right, well, thanks. Any other public comments? I want to thank you for making comments. We appreciate you coming and sharing your concerns.
We really appreciate that. At this time, we'll close public comments and open council comments. Yeah.
Okay. I just want to say that I was happy to hear someone bring up parking in the harbor, because I brought that up this afternoon. It was a discussion item for quite a while, and hopefully something's going to happen with that real soon. On the pit bull subject, I had a sister own one for 10 years. She came home and she was sweeping the floor at dinner time. A dog attacked her, put her in a closet. She was there for 4 hours till her husband came home, pulled the dog off of her. So there's something that was raised from a little baby puppy as far as trusting pit bulls and what the triggers on those animals are. Nobody knows. That's an attack animal. It doesn't have a place in the village where the little kids run around all the time and pedal under bikes up and down the road and stuff. So I support that.
Thank you.
And Jack, on your frustration, let me assure you, I've been on this council for quite a while, and several of us are, and we're frustrated too. And I know you have to vent once in a while, but if you sit on this council and you watch our police department put in hours and man hours of work and stuff, and they go to the DA and they throw it up.
Yeah.
Or it goes to the DA, it gets to the cotton picking judge, and he goes, we'll see you next week. You know, it's pretty frustrating.
No.
And letters to the state and stuff like that would help too, I think. I think pressure needs to be brought to bear on the justice system to start doing something. So that's all I have. Thank you. Okay.
Danny.
I do know the dog you're talking about. I also walked by that dog in the harbor inside of a car. And that dog went completely nuts. I do think, you know, I know in England I don't think they're allowed to have pit bull at all in the entire country. And, that dog is, I mean, I might just be protecting its property or whatever, but it was pretty severe and violent. And Jack, honey, thanks for coming. I live in a kind of a tough neighborhood, too. I hear a lot of noise. I'm a little more taller than you because I've been putting up with it for 40 years, but yes, there is a lot of traffic come and go, and John lives in the same neighborhood, and many mornings I see him, and he goes, the neighbors were a little rusty last night, weren't they, you know, but it's, they, you know, like you say, there's only four of them, and it can't be everywhere at one time. It takes more than one to usually respond to a call, so. And then I guess I need to make a motion to have the city put together a fund and manage a fund for Tony Ganesh's, I don't know what you would call it.
Is there a second?
I'll second.
Discussion?
We're in a comment period. Do we want to do that right now?
Well, we can do it in council. It's council comments. I believe we can do it in council comments. We talked about a workshop today at the motion that the council might want to do. I think. Oh, what do you think, Andy?
I'd like Andy's opinion on that.
It's something that probably should have been an agenda item to begin with.
There's a pretty good parliamentarian sitting crowd. There were a couple of them, actually, sitting over there, too. I don't know. What do you think, Paul?
Do you want to add it to next month's agenda?
We've just for council record and for public information, we have done that during council comment, but the last part of the meeting in council comment.
And I do support that.
I was just informed to do the council comment. So.
Yeah.
And I can make a motion and put it on the agenda.
We can just put it on the next. You can rescind your motion and we can put it on the next agenda if you want to do that.
You can even add in just from the month.
Don, you want to do that and we'll just put it on the next agenda?
Yeah, we can just take it.
So we're going to rescind, you'll rescind
the motion. Rescind it and we'll just do the next agenda.
Perfect. Good. But we know where it's headed. I think that's what's important. The public knows. City knows. I think it's a good thing to know that we are interested in.
I read those books. Yes. I'm sorry.
Okay. Any other council comments? Oh, Andy?
I'm not council. Sorry, I'll go after.
Okay. Any other council comments? Red?
I just wanted to make comment that I sure like the front of the building. The grass how it's been kept up. It looks nice. I think that it being mowed and it looking like a lawn, I think it's done, gives our city building a nice facelift up there. So I just wanted to say good job to Ken for seeing him out mowing the yard today.
And the building itself, Emil's back there, so he's been working on the building for us for some time. So it's making a difference.
Yeah, it's looking good. Those updates.
Any other council comments? Andy, did you have a comment?
Yeah, I just wanted to bring up that these are good comments from the public, and touching on the fact that there are four officers and there's only so many resources at the disposal and things like that. But the council did put more money into the public safety budget,
yes,
through more money this year, which would enable the department to hire another officer at some point in the fiscal year if that's what we want to do. There are more. The budget was increased, and that's one of that's something that can happen. I don't tell the department how to allocate its resources, but there were more put in, and for these reasons are being brought up. It's definitely one of the primary reasons for that.
Okay. Thanks, Andy. Any other council comments? Okay, and just for one other comment that was made, just to answer Chief, as far as identifying a new police chief, I just want to make this known that we'll be retaining his services for a transition period of time. I mean, that's one thing that we agreed to, and he'll be here for a little while longer, but it'll be in a different portion of that department, just for public information. If there are no other council comments,
I make a motion to adjourn.
Good. It's adjourned. Thank you all for coming.
Thank you, everybody.
All right.